Good morning. Well, first of all, a special welcome to each and every one of you, of course. But of course, this morning we have Patrick and Ruth and their two little ones, Otter and Marianne. Do you have anybody with you?
No.
No? And of course, Hans and Army and their two girls. Good to see you. Nice to see you. And yeah, it's a joy to see one another again. In the book of Timothy, the Apostle Paul gave us a very important chart. When he said, first of all, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good and is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. When we look at that verse, there is a connection between a couple of things. Number one, pray for all people. Number two, pray for kings. Number three, because it is important that we live godly and dignified lives in every way. And number four, God desires all people to be saved. So the question, at least one of the questions that we are raising this morning, we are ambassadors. We are ambassadors for our own lives, but we are also ambassadors for all people. We are ambassadors for kings. Earlier this week, there was an article in the newspaper. I was shocked. In 2021, we had 31,049 abortions in the Netherlands. I took my calculator and it says that comes to 85 per day. Can you imagine? The article went on and said, most of those abortions, they happen in the first 13 weeks. The article went on to say that some of those abortions are even done up till, and we know the limit in the Netherlands is 24 weeks. A baby is born at 38 weeks, 39? 40? So can you imagine that little baby is sometimes already more than halfway? Or let me say it in another way, in terms of Psalms 139, when God is weaving that little life together, because God is doing it, right? God is weaving those little lives together in the mother's womb. When God is working hard already for 13, 14, 15, 21, 22 weeks by creating that masterpiece, some people decide and say, it's over. Stop. Brothers and sisters, there are, of course, many things that we need to pray for. Cor, you mentioned it again this morning, but when you look at this world, turmoil. Wars, So many different things are going on. But again, this morning, I would like to bring that down to the Netherlands. I want to bring it down to 85 abortions per day. Can you imagine? 85 per day. If you break that up in 24 hours, you do the figures. This morning, I want to talk a little bit about little children and little babies and conceiving. There are people in this world, there are people in this religious world. Do you know what they say? They say this, and I'm referring to the Heidelberg Catechism, question number 7. What does it say? It says, then where does this corrupt human nature come from? And the answer is the fall and disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve, in paradise. This fall has so poisoned our nature that we are all conceived and born in a sinful and guilty situation or condition. The canons of Dort say in article number three, therefore, all people are conceived in sin and are born children of wrath, unfit for any saving good, inclined to evil, dead in their sins, and slaves to sin. Without the grace of the regenerating Holy Spirit, they are neither willing to or able to return to God, to reform their distorted nature, and even to dispose themselves to such reform. What does this mean? In layman's term, this means all children in conception are children of wrath. They share in the guilt of Adam and Eve's transgression. They are dead in their guilt and death in their sin. So from abortion, we are now moving to another very important question. When you look at the Heidelberg Catechism and when you look at the canons of Dort, it says, when children are conceived, when God starts weaving that little child together, they already have the guilt of Adam upon them. They are already children of wrath. This morning, we would also like to look at some of the things that the Bible has to say along these lines. And I want to start with a verse in Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 39. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 39 says this. And as for your little ones, you who said would become a prey, and your children who today have no knowledge of good or evil, they shall go in there. So number one, when we look at this verse, what do we learn? Number one, we learn that God, or Moses, is describing little ones. Now, those little ones that he is describing here, they were not in the womb. They were little children that were running around. They were little children like these two little girls here. They were children that were running around those Israelites. And Moses said, those little ones that are among you, Number two, what does he say about them? They have no knowledge of good. They have no knowledge of evil. What does the Heidelberg Catechism say? The Heidelberg Catechism and the Dort, the Confessions of Dort, they say they are children of wrath. They have the guilt of Adam upon them. They are guilty. What does Moses say? Moses say those little ones, they have no knowledge whatsoever of good or evil. We might say they are neutral. We might say, as even before Adam and Eve fell into sin, even before Adam and Eve ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, before they ate of that tree, they had no knowledge of good and evil. They did not know that certain things were by God defined right and by God defined wrong. They were neutral. They had totally no concept of good or evil. That is what the Bible says about little ones. And those little ones, again, they were not yet still in the womb. They were running around them. How old were they? We don't know exactly, but they were defined as little ones. Then look at Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 through 16. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 through 16. It says this, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings who you dread will be deserted." What is going on here? What is being said? It says, before the little boy will know how to refuse evil and choose the good. What does that mean? That means in the life of a little one. And if you ask me, we don't know exactly when that is. We as human beings are limited in that regard. But God knows exactly when the moment comes when a little one is able to choose right and to choose for what is wrong. In other words, somehow, somewhere in their development, there comes a point when they start to distinguish between right and between wrong. So little ones, or even, of course, in conception, they do not know how to choose and how to refuse evil and how to choose the good. Again, they are neutral. We have one more passage, Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. In Romans chapter 9, verse 9 through 12, Romans chapter 9, verse 10 through 12, "And not only so, but also when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born and had not done nothing either bad or good, in order that God's purpose of election might continue." Some people sometimes say Romans 9 and 10 and 11 are difficult chapters. And they definitely are challenging chapters. But you know what? in the midst of these three challenging chapters, he makes a statement that I would like to say we can all understand. He talks about election, he talks about choosing, he talks about Israel, he talks about being chosen through the promise and not through the flesh. All of a sudden he makes that statement. There were two children in Rebekah's womb. And then it says, they had done nothing, neither good or bad. Again, they are neutral. They do not know good or evil. They do not know how to choose what is right or refuse what is wrong. And the Bible says they have not done good or bad. Brothers and sisters, what does all of these things mean? All of those things mean that we are living in a religious world in which we have religious bodies that are teaching that when a child is in conception, they already bear the guilt of Adam. They are guilty. They are prone to nothing good. They are children of wrath. Wow. What will God think, if I may ask that question, when he hears those things? While God has written in his word, they have not done anything good or bad. They don't know how to choose good and refuse what is evil. They simply don't know. They don't have that knowledge. Deuteronomy 1:39. There's no knowledge. They have no possibility to choose to refuse evil. They don't have a possibility to choose what is good. They have not done good or evil. What does God think of that? In the story of David and Goliath, what did Goliath do? The Bible says he defied the ranks of Israel. And the word defied means to bring down to nothing. What did all the Israelites do? They got scared. They were afraid. And then that little shepherd boy came. How old was he? We don't know. But he's described as a young man. And he says, I don't allow that Philistine to defy the ranks of Israel. I don't allow it. And so, brothers and sisters, this morning we are asking, what are we doing about it? What are we doing about it that certain people are saying, little children, oh, they are guilty. Little children, they are the subjects of God's wrath. While the Bible says, no, they have no knowledge of good and evil. They don't have the possibility to refuse or to choose. They have done nothing good or evil. They are neutral. And the question is, what are we doing? I know that some people say, okay, let's make a big banner and go to Utrecht and go to the abortion clinic and make those big statements. We hate abortion, or we this, or we such, or we so. Personally, I don't believe in that kind of statements. I don't believe in those kinds of demonstrations. But you know what I do believe in? I do believe in a Christian praying. As the Bible says, you pray for all people. You pray for kings. You pray that you will lead a good and a quiet life. You pray that all men will come to the knowledge of the truth. Brothers and sisters, we can make a statement. We can make a statement by prayer. That is the important question that we are asking this morning. Let me read one more verse in Romans chapter 7, where Paul says this. What shall we say then? Romans 7, 7. The law is sin? By no means. Yet, if it had not been by the law, I would not have known sin. How did Paul know sin? By the law. When he was able to choose what was right and refuse what was evil. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, you shall not covet. But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness, for apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law. When was Paul alive apart from the law? When he was a little one. There was no law, for there is no law for little ones. Let me raise an important question. Patrick and Ruth, you got two little ones there. Are you going to tell your little girl tomorrow morning you need to go to school? Why? Love means she is not able to go to school yet, so she doesn't have to go to school. Does love ever demand something that cannot be demanded? And the answer is no. Love can only demand what can be demanded. And so it is with little ones. God doesn't make a demand on little ones that cannot be made, because God is a God of love. God doesn't say, I'm going to hold you responsible for somebody else's sin. Even the book of Ezekiel speaks loudly about that. Chapter 18. God says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Not the soul that inherits guilt. That is not the concept. And that is what we are looking at. So Paul says, I was once alive without the law. Then he says this, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. When did Paul die? When he was conceived? No. Paul died when at a certain moment in his life, God knew he could choose between good and evil. God gave him a law. He trespassed the law and he died. As far as I can understand, that is what the Bible says about those things along the terms that we are talking about this morning. But when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. Sometimes when I talk to those people that are believing in those things, and then I say, please help me to understand verse 9, when Paul says, when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Because I said, then I say, you know, in your terminology, the child is already dead, right? Yeah, the child is already dead by their definition. And then I ask them the question, what does this mean? If Paul had already died by when he was conceived, what is the death that he is talking about here? And of course, oftentimes there is no answer. Some people will say, well, you know, I will dig into it and get back to you. But you don't always hear the result. Brothers and sisters, we're going to bring it to a close. We see a number of things in what we considered this morning. Number one, we see a tragedy happening in front of our eyes. And of course, we see tragedies in the whole wide world. We see tragedies in different shapes and different colors. But today, I want to focus on the concept of abortion. 85 per day only in the Netherlands. Can we do something about it? I honestly believe that we can do something about it by becoming praying warriors. Becoming praying warriors for all people. Let's ask God. We don't always know how God works, but God is working, right? We don't always know how, we don't always know when, but let us become prayer warriors and bring that number down. I don't know how, we leave that up to God. But God tells us we need to pray for all people. And today, especially for those mothers. And I know there are sometimes difficult situations. But the answer is never abortion. The answer might be giving it up for adoption. The answer might be foster parenting. The answer might be a number of things. But abortion is never the answer, even in difficult circumstances. So, brothers and sisters, can we ask you? Can we ask one another? Can we encourage one another to become prayer warriors for those little children? Can we ask one another? Can we comfort one another? Can we admonish one another to become prayer warriors for not only abortion, but so many things that are happening in the world? The Bible simply says this: the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Do we know how? Personally, I say I don't know always how God is working out these things. But the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let's do it for those little children that God is weaving in the wombs of mothers. Amen.